Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
You recall that in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 through 18, almost at the end of the 1 Corinthian epistle, Paul issues a series of five imperatives. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five things that he's commanding the Corinthian believers to do in his closing words to them. Having completed 16 chapters of instruction, many of them were addressing concerns that Paul was aware of that they may or may not have been sensitive to, as they should have been, and others of them answering questions which they forwarded to him, which indicated what issues they were sensitive to and were seeking help in. And Paul put all those things together in one large epistle, and he's coming down to the end as he's writing to this church at Corinth that he himself had founded, not too many years, just a couple or 3 years before the writing of this 1 Corinthian epistle, and he's giving them some very concise commands that are targeted for their particular needs, but are general enough that they also address the needs that we have in our day. So this is a very practical section for all of God's people. And it is found in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, which says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love." Five imperatives, five commands, beginning with watch, be alert, be on guard, don't allow the enemy to slip in around you when you're not being watchful and defending against his attacks and allowing truth to be undermined by clever false teachers that are messengers of Satan that are sent by him to do that very thing. Watch, be on guard all the time. You can never let your guard down till you get to heaven. I know, we get tired. Always being on guard, always watching. We wish we didn't have to, but that's the reality of the world in which we live, this world that is under the curse of sin, this world that is no friend of grace to help us on to God. So watch, be on guard at all times, but there's more. And we'll look at the next command as we gather together on this Tuesday, July 26th. Around a radio microphone, around the Word of God, and are able to do it because of the financial support of radio listeners like you. Okay, watch, be alert. What next? Number two, stand fast or firm would be another translation of that word. Stand fast in the faith. What is this about? Is this talking about strengthening your faith, strengthening your hold on truth, strengthening your belief in the Word of God? Well, not exactly, though that's not totally unrelated. But when you find the definite article with the word faith, the faith, as opposed to faith, what you have is a reference to the body of revealed truth, which is another way of saying the Bible. The body of revealed truth is the 66 books that God by the work of the Holy Spirit, has committed to writing and preserved and collected into this book we call the Bible, a library of 66 books, some long, some short, just like books in our day. Some of them are mere pamphlets, and others of them are rather substantial volumes. And you have something similar in the Bible. You've got long books. Isaiah comes to mind, 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. That's a long book. You've got short books. You've got some that are only one chapter and a pretty short chapter at that, just a matter of 12 or 13 verses total, and everything in between. But this is what we're talking about when we're talking about the faith. We're talking about the body of revealed truth. We're talking about not so much the scriptures themselves, though that cannot be separated from this term, the faith, but the doctrine that is taught in the scriptures. We're talking about the Christian faith, that is, Christian doctrine, Christian truth, which we derive from the Bible. That has been given to us so that we can understand what God has said that we are to believe. And that's where it comes back around to the idea of faith without the definite article. Without faith, not the faith, but without faith, that is the exercise of belief, it is impossible to please Him. Believing is integral to Christianity. There really is no salvation apart from faith. There really is no true Christianity apart from faith. But faith is believing the faith. You understand the difference there? The faith is the body of revealed truth that is to be believed. So we exercise faith in the faith. And here, Paul tells the Corinthians to stand firm in the faith. You see, everything that the Bible teaches is important. Now, not everything is equally important, and I'm not saying that. But everything's important, and everything that the Bible teaches is a matter of faith. It is a matter of our faith. We are to incorporate that into our practice, our understanding of and practice of Christianity. And what we are told here is that we are not only to be alert, that was the first command, watch, be on guard, watch out for attacks upon the truth of God, but we should not only be alert, but we must actively defend, stand firm in the faith. That sounds like an inactive activity. That's a rather poor way to put it, but it's not. It's a very active activity. It's a very active occupation to be standing firm in the truth. When I think of that phrase, I can't help but think about Martin Luther, often considered to be the father of the Protestant Reformation, who nailed his theses. I'm trying to remember how many there were. I've forgotten now, but he nailed his 95 theses, 95 statements of what he believed to be true and what he believed to be in need of correction in Roman Catholic practice of his day. And that's all he was trying to do, was to reform Catholicism, of which he was very much a part and a committed part and didn't intend to ever be anything but a part. And yet he was concerned about some of the weaknesses, if that's the mildest term that I can use, some of the abuses, some of the false practices and teachings that were going on in the Christian church that he believed were contrary to sound doctrine, and in his mind were contrary to true Catholic teaching. They had strayed from what he believed was Catholic doctrine from a better time, an earlier time, a better era. And he saw these things that had brought corruption and declension and disrepute upon the name of Christ and upon the church, which in that day was pretty much meant the Catholic Church, and he wanted to see these things corrected. He wanted to see them reformed, but he didn't have in mind starting a new movement outside of the Catholic Church. And so he nailed his 95 Theses to the castle door in Wittenberg as a matter of discussion. Let's talk about these things. These are my concerns. Am I the only one that's concerned? Does anybody else see a problem with these? Here they are. Let's look them over and let's discuss this and see if we can help bring our beloved Mother Church back to a better biblical foundation. That's pretty much what Martin Luther had in mind, but of course, in the providence of God, those 95 theses were quickly copied and printed on a printing press that had only been around for a little over 50 years and distributed across Europe in the matter of a couple of weeks, and people were talking about it all over, and that sparked what eventually became the Protestant Reformation, which was a separation from Catholicism. And the reason Martin Luther was part of this separation movement is basically because he was kicked out. He wasn't planning to depart. He wasn't planning to leave. He wasn't planning to start a rival movement as something separate from and distinguished from Catholicism, which at the time he posted those theses on the castle door, he considered to be the one true church, the Roman Catholic Church. He didn't question that, didn't doubt that at that particular point in his life. But it was 4 years later at the Diet of Worms that Martin Luther was called on the carpet, so to speak. He was summoned to come and to give an account of himself, to explain some of the books that he had written, some of the things that he had said that were contrary to the official doctrine of the church and that was sparking so much interest and so much opposition throughout Europe against the Catholic Church. And so he was summoned. Some of his friends advised him not to go because it was dangerous to be walking into the lion's den, so to speak, but he went. He was given a promise of safe conduct that if he would come to this meeting, this governing board, this diet that was going to make a decision about his orthodoxy, as they understood it, and if he would come, they promised him that he would have safe conduct there and back, away from there, that they would not take that occasion to harm him. Surely Martin Luther knew that there were similar promises to others in the past that had not been kept. They'd made a similar promise to John Huss, and then they captured him and killed him, put him to the stake. They said, well, we don't have to keep promises we made to heretics, and we've determined he's a heretic, so we don't have to keep that promise. But Martin Luther went, and I'm running out of time, so I just remind you that he went there and he would not renounce anything he had said. He said, here I stand. I can do no other, so help me God. Here I stand. That's what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch, stand fast in the faith. This is not a passive activity. When Martin Luther said, here I stand, that was an active posture, but it was a firm stance for truth and against error. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.